Hello, everybody. This is Alex Newman. You are listening to the Power Hour. I, of course, am guest hosting for my friend Daniel Brigman. And it is a tremendous honor to be with you guys today. And I'll be with you again next week in the not-too-distant future. There is just so much going on in the world. There's so much to talk about. Coming up in an hour, we are going to have a phenomenal guest. It's a friend of mine named Frank De Varona, and he is an incredibly interesting man. He had to flee from Cuba as a child when the mass murdering communists backed by the U.S. State Department and the New York Times enslaved his nation. They stole his family's farm. And so he fled to Miami. That's, of course, my hometown, if you can call it a town. And he eventually went back to Cuba when he was 17 and invaded as part of the Bay of Pigs operation. And he and I collaborated on an article about how the deep state basically betrayed those guys. They convinced them to go in and invade Cuba. And then they stabbed him in the back. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. It is such an amazing story. You'll learn about the role of the Council on Foreign Relations in helping to enslave that once a prosperous nation, and also in helping to keep it enslaved. People like David Rockefeller, operatives at the Council on Foreign Relations, people like Herbert Matthews of the New York Times, who told the American people that Castro was actually an anti-communist freedom fighter. He was the George Washington of Latin America. Does that sound familiar, right? The New York Times, have they improved much since then? Well, you guys know the answer to that. Of course they haven't, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. So thank you so much for tuning in, folks. It's, like I said, it's an incredible honor to be here. And the first hour, I'm going to be with you guys for 4 hours in total, two today and then two next week. And we've got basically 3 hours of amazing guests for you coming up. But I figured today, for the first hour, I'll take your phone calls and I will just go through the news that I consider important. And how do I consider it important? How do I know what to talk about? Well, I'm just going to go through the different articles that I've done over the last few weeks. Obviously, I wouldn't be writing about them if I didn't think they were important. And so I just was so pleased to hear from the Power Hour team to ask if I could guest host, because I thought, hey, I'll have a chance to talk about the stories that I have been working on with an even broader and amazing audience. So thank you guys again for being here. And, you know, one of the first things that's on my radar today, and I'm not going to talk about the stuff that you'll get anywhere else. You know, I think you all probably at this point know that the Biden family is a bunch of criminals, right? I mean, we didn't need emails to know that. And in fact, I almost feel like the corruption is just a side issue. You know, corruption is serious. Corruption is bad. Yeah, stealing money is bad. Making shady business deals and exploiting your government connections is bad. But really, those crimes pale in comparison to what we know the criminal class, the ruling class is up to. And we've got smoking gun evidence showing what they've been doing. You know, I would go back to the 2012 Defense Intelligence Agency memo, where we know the U.S. government, the Obama administration, and its allies, the French, the British, the Sunni Arab dictators on the Arabian Peninsula, the Turks, they were openly talking about how they were supporting the revolution in Syria. In this document, they said they knew the revolution in Syria was being led by al-Qaeda. And then they said they wanted to form a Salafist principality in eastern Syria. And we know Hillary Clinton read this document. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's evidence of treason. And stealing money and corrupt business deals pale in comparison with treason. And someone would say, well, Congress hasn't declared a war against al-Qaeda, so technically we're not in a war. Okay, well, that just means that the people who have been waging these illegal wars need to be brought up on charges as well. So they're darned if they do. They're darned if they don't. We have, unfortunately, a criminal syndicate that controls a massive amount of power in the United States, and I think Trump has tried to go up against this machine, and as we've all seen, it's a very, very difficult swamp to drain. So my most recent article at the New American, and I have another one that hopefully I'll get published today. By the way, for those of you who don't know me, I'm the senior editor at the New American magazine. You can find us at thenewamerican.com. I write for the New American. I edit the New American because I think it is among the best publications in the world, if not the best. If you don't subscribe, you can go over to thenewamerican.com and get the daily headlines in your email for free. You can get weekly headlines if daily is too much, and then you can get the print magazine delivered to your door twice every month. And I'm the senior editor there, and I write a lot there. I also write for other publications as well, the Epoch Times. Some of you probably know I've got an education series going there. I've done some investigative reporting on the communist Chinese dictatorship. Got a lot more coming. I also write for the Law Enforcement Intelligence Brief, which goes out to every police chief and sheriff in America. We know that they're getting essentially fake and useless intelligence from the federal government, and so we figured, our men and women who work in law enforcement, they need real, useful intelligence on the communist revolution that is underway, on the subversive organizations that are terrorizing our cities, that are burning down our buildings. So that's why we put that together. That's a project for the Law Enforcement Charitable Foundation. I also write an education blog at Freedom Project Media. You can find this at freedomproject.com. It's called the Newman Report. And I'll be going through all these as we go through the hour today, just kind of sharing with you some of the stuff that I've thought is most important in recent weeks. And you can find all of it online. And I also write for the Illinois Family Institute and WorldNet Daily and a lot of different publications. So I guess technically I'm a freelancer. And then I am the executive director of Public School Exit, and I've been on with Daniel on this program quite a few times talking about the urgent need for parents to get their children out of these indoctrination centers posing as educational institutions, posing as schools. They are destroying your children mentally, physically, academically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. They're just ruining your children. So if you want to learn more about that, you can head over to publicschoolexit.com. I'm the executive director there. It's one of many things I do, a lot of boards and stuff, and I'm not here to talk to you guys about myself, but just to give you some idea of who you're listening to. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, Alex Newman, I'm guest hosting for Daniel Brigman. This is, of course, the Power Hour, one of the best radio shows in America. So thank you for tuning in. Please share this stream with everybody. You know, go over to the website and share that out so that your friends can listen, your family can listen. This will be kind of like drinking from a fire hose, but it'll be well worth it. You'll be like a tick afterwards, you know, just completely stuffed with useful information. So go over to the Power Hour Nation. It's powerhournation.com. And you can share this out on Twitter, on Facebook, on Parler, which is way better than the other two, on Gab, on all the social media sites out there. And that's, of course, a big story today, right? We've got the Senate threatening to subpoena these social media companies. And my personal view on this is that this is so long overdue. I mean, we talk about the Russian election meddling, and let's all get our tinfoil hats on and pretend like Trump is actually a Russian agent. Oh, my God. I mean, how ridiculous. Talk about stupid conspiracy theories. But there are very subversive, very dangerous forces working to interfere in our election. Some of them are in Beijing, and some of them are in San Francisco, in Silicon Valley. We've got Fakebook, which has, of course, been in the news lately for trying to censor the New York Post. And I'm not a big fan of the New York Post. They're not a very reliable newspaper. In fact, they very dishonestly smeared the John Birch Society a few months ago and refused to correct the record. So it's not a credible publication, but I suspect where there's smoke, there's fire. There's probably something to this. And who does Facebook and who does Twitter think they are to tell us what we can say and what we can share and what we can read? Who do they think they are? I mean, who gave them this authority? As far as I'm concerned, this is fraud, right? They advertise themselves as platforms for people to be able to communicate and keep in touch with family and friends and share stuff with their family and friends. And then really we find out that that's not what it was about at all, right? They're spying on us. They're manipulating us. They're trying to rig our elections. It'd be like, you know, setting up a restaurant and advertising that you sell burgers, and then people come in and you're selling, you know, barbecued wraps or something, right? You'd take that business to court and you'd say, what in the world? You said you guys were selling burgers. This is just garbage on a piece of bread, right? I'm not going to eat that. And yet Facebook and then Twitter and Google too, you know, they pretend to be a search engine. Really, it's just a tentacle of the deep state to spy on you, to steal your data, to sell your data, to data mine you, to help the intelligence agencies spy on you, and to manipulate what you can see and what you can't see to try to shift your votes toward radical Democrats. And the most insulting thing about this is that most of these companies have actually got their start with taxpayer money. Take Google as an example. Back when it was just those two weirdos in their garage, DARPA came in, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and starts shoveling taxpayer money into this operation. Well, wait a minute. If it's getting taxpayer money, why don't they have to obey the First Amendment, right? I mean, it's just simply common sense, and yet they don't, right? It was fraud from the beginning. And so now it looks like the Senate's going to be holding some hearings. That's encouraging. They should have done this a long time ago. But more importantly, guys, let's use what's left of the free market and gradually at least make the move away. There's great alternatives now for these big tech companies. I haven't used Google in years. DuckDuckGo is a great one, and there's other good alternatives out there as well. YouTube, of course, has been purging everybody. At least everybody with an opinion that defies our rulers. And so, you know, check out some of the other platforms. There's BitChute, there's Brighteon, there is Band.video, right? There's all kinds of alternatives that we can turn to that don't require us to be captives. And so I'm going to go through some of the news that I've been writing about, some of the news that I think is important. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is the Power Hour. I'm Alex Newman, guest hosting for Daniel Brigman. And one of the articles that I wrote just recently, my latest article in the New American Online, is Murderous Dictators Win Seats on UN Human Rights Council. And you almost can't make this stuff up. it's like a parody of itself. You can see these guys running around with clown hats and clown noses. Oh, what wonderful human rights record you have, mass murdering dictator. And that's, I mean, an accurate representation of what goes on here. So last week we had a number of monsters selected to serve on the UN Human Rights Council. Now, for those of you who don't know, the UN Human Rights Council is the highest human rights body of the United Nations, and they have about 47 members who sit on this council. And according to the UN resolution that created this abomination, any government serving on here is supposed to have a stellar human rights record. And somehow, some way, last week, they decided that, well, yeah, okay, let's put the mass murdering dictatorship in Cuba, let's put the mass murdering dictatorship in China, let's put the Islamist regime in Pakistan, which, by the way, loves to persecute Christians, let's put the communist gangsters running Uzbekistan, the communist regime in Nepal, yeah, let's put them all on there. They can join those other paragons of human rights, of Venezuela and Sudan. I'm not kidding, guys. This is the Human Rights Council. And, you know, they get together and they talk about how evil and how horrible the United States is. Oh, my God, how dare they have free speech? How dare they have protections for the God-given right to keep and bear arms? Those are human rights violations. But you overlords of China, you've only herded a few million people into concentration camps in Western China, the Uyghurs. And, hey, you're only trying to exterminate the ancient culture of Tibet. And, hey, you're only persecuting Christians and chopping out organs from Falun Gong practitioners. What a great human rights record you guys have. I mean, it really goes like this, because you have, you know, Saudi Arabia gets praised by fellow dictators for their wonderful human rights record on women's rights. And then China gets praised for their wonderful protections for free speech. I mean, it really is like a clown show. It's like a circus. All that's missing are the goofy colored clown hair wigs and the goofy red noses. And so that gives you kind of a sense of what's going on And it sounds also ridiculous. I actually had to shut down the UN Human Rights Commission, which was the predecessor of the Human Rights Council, because the dictators on there ended up selecting Muammar Gaddafi to run the thing, right? True story. Muammar Gaddafi was elected to chair this unbelievable UN Human Rights Commission. And so they finally had to shut it down. They renamed it the UN Human Rights Council, but it's essentially the same thing. Now you have one of the guys who watches this stuff is the head of UN Watch. His name is Hillel Neuer, and he always puts out these money quotes for this stuff. He says for this latest round of dictators being selected to serve on this council, he says electing these dictatorships as UN judges on human rights is like making a gang of arsonists into the fire brigade, and it is. Right? It is. And, you know, people look at this, normal people look at this and say, wait a minute, you're putting mass murder dictatorships in charge of human rights? Like, really? What's wrong with you guys? Right? The communist Chinese government has slaughtered 100 million people, and that's not even including the unborn babies that they have murdered. How can it be that this regime qualifies as a paragon of human rights to oversee the rest of us? And once you understand what the UN is really about, suddenly it makes a whole lot more sense, right? You go to the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I encourage people to read this abomination. It is a total repudiation of actual human rights. Right? Legitimate human rights are what our founders said, God-given rights. They're unalienable. Right? God said, thou shalt not murder, and that means you have a right to life. God said, thou shalt not steal, and that means you have a right to property. God says, thou shalt not lie. God says, thou shalt not covet. Right? God says that he ordained liberty, right? Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. As it says on our great Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. In the New Testament, we learn that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that, you know, that is what our founders understood as human rights. They said it was a self-evident truth that God gave us these rights. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to recognize that murdering people is bad and shouldn't be done and that you have a right to life. Right? They just said it was a self-evident truth. But when you get to the way these UN kleptocrats and dictators look at things, they have a very different view of human rights. They think human rights come from their benevolence. Right? It's their, their graciousness and their kindness that endows us with some privileges, which, by the way, if you go to Article 29 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, do it right now, you'll see that none of these rights and freedoms and privileges may be used contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. Well, isn't that cute? So it's like, you have free speech, unless that speech makes Congress mad, in which case you don't have free speech anymore. Okay, that is the equivalent of what the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights does. If you go to Article 26, you get more insight into what they think of as rights, right? They tell you that education is going to be mandatory for all young slaves. Citizens, mandatory. Well, if it's mandatory, it's not really a right, is it? In fact, they completely destroy a true understanding of rights, right? Rights are something that God gave you that the government is designed and should be in charge of protecting. It's not something that the government gives you. It's not something that the government is nice enough to let you have. It's not something that requires the government to steal stuff from other people so they can give you free stuff. Right? Those are not rights. And yet, under the UN Declaration of Human Rights, they are. And if you keep reading into Article 26, they say that this mandatory education that you have a right to shall advance the purposes and principles of the United Nations. So if you think the UN is an abomination, a dictator's club, a club of gangsters, mass murderers, thieves, and lunatics from the pit of hell, and you teach that to your children, well, the UN thinks you're violating their human rights. Okay, so this is the context in which this all comes. Now, thankfully, we have a president who has taken a wrecking ball to the machinery of global governance. He has just been on the warpath when it comes to globalism. And, you know, that's not to say everything he's done is right or correct or perfect or even constitutional. But when it comes to the machinery of globalism, you know, I think Trump deserves a standing ovation. He got us out of this ridiculous UN Human Rights Council a couple of years ago. He got us out of UNESCO, which is what the UN wants to turn into the Global School Board, the Global Department of Education. He got us out of the Paris Agreement, and that will formally go into effect the day after the election. He got us out of the UN Migration Compact, whereby they were going to just basically abolish borders and make migration into the United States or the West into a human right. And so Trump has really done a lot of good when it comes to reining in the UN, but much more must be done. And so I conclude my article with a call for Congress to pass the American Sovereignty Restoration Act. That's H.R. 204. If you're not familiar with the American Sovereignty Restoration Act, I encourage you to read it. It's very short. This was a bill that was pioneered by Congressman Larry McDonald, the Democrat, very conservative Democrat from Georgia, who was the chairman of the John Birch Society, the founder of the Western Goals Foundation, and of course he was murdered by the Soviet Union. They shot down his airplane while he was flying to Korea. Unbelievably tragic story. I just had the opportunity to meet his son, Larry McDonald Jr., not long ago. One of the other heroes behind this legislation is Congressman Ron Paul, who, former Congressman Ron Paul, who spent many, many years in Congress trying to save America from this abomination called the United Nations. And this bill, the American Sovereignty Restoration Act, it does four simple things. It repeals the United Nations Participation Act, so the United States is no longer participating in the UN. It also prohibits the use of American troops under UN command. It also removes the dictator and terrorist-filled UN headquarters from American soil. And it finally gets us out of all these ridiculous UN agencies and agreements that have been stealing our sovereignty. And so we at the New American, we actually interviewed one of the co-sponsors of the bill, Representative Thomas Massey, who's kind of taken up the mantle for Ron Paul and the other liberty folks in Congress. And, you know, he has some really funny stuff to say. He's like, the best thing you can say about the UN is that it's a waste of money. Right? That was the best thing. It gets worse from there. He says, you know what, I'm actually glad that it's ineffective. I don't like that we waste money. But he says it's full of dictators. It's something that our sovereign government should not be deferring to. And, you know, it's a great bill. It's a phenomenal piece of legislation. Hopefully in Trump's second term, we can really put some pressure on Congress to pass that bill. The UN is a mockery. It's a disgrace. It's absolutely an abomination. And we're coming up to a break here very soon, folks. Again, I'm Alex Newman. I am guest hosting for my friend Daniel Brigman. You are listening to The Power Hour. And, boy, we've got so much to talk about and so little time. As I mentioned, in the second hour, we're going to have with us Frank de Varona. He invaded Cuba at age 17, spent 2 years in a Cuban gulag being tortured and brutalized. He actually got to meet the mass murderer Ernesto Che Guevara, the lunatic who, you know, dumb college students today, they put the guy's face on their t-shirts, not realizing that he was a racist. And oh my goodness, I hear the bumper music now. So guys, stay tuned right here. This is the Power Hour. We will be back after these short messages from our sponsors that help us pay the bills.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. Or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Kirkman by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. You are listening to The Power Hour. I'm Alex Newman. I'm guest hosting for my friend Daniel Brigman, one of the best people in radio today. And we have got a lot planned for you today. Coming up in about half an hour, we have my friend Frank DeVadona joining us. He invaded Cuba when he was 17. He's written, I think, 27 books or something now. He's got all kinds of awards. I mean, his resume is just unbelievable. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. And he knows more about the New World Order agenda and the deep state than virtually anybody. Wonderful, wonderful man. So you'll be hearing from him in about half an hour. In the meantime, I've got a little less than half an hour left today to talk about some of the things that I've been working on, some of the things that I think you'll find interesting. And, there's so much to go over, but we'll just take some of the ones. We just talked about the murderous dictators winning seats on the UN Human Rights Council. Also, if you did not hear, a couple weekends ago, we had the Red Pill Expo. That was a wonderful, wonderful event. All kinds of leaders in the freedom movement and the medical freedom movement. We had G. Edward Griffin, of course, the patriarch of the Red Pill Expo, the founder of the Freedom Force International, organized it all. And we actually held the event on Jekyll Island. Now, for those of you who know a lot about G. Edward Griffin, you know he's the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, one of the most important books written, I think, in the 20th century. Incredibly important book. And what it does is it exposes the Federal Reserve System, the banking cartel, that has done more to destroy our economy, destroy our prosperity, destroy our government, enslave our people. I mean, I don't even think there's a close second. You know, we talk about the UN. Yeah, the UN is bad, but none of this would have been possible without the Federal Reserve stealing the wealth of the American people through inflation, manipulating our interest rates, manipulating our economy, crashing our economy on a whim, and then pumping the wealth from the poor and the middle class to the elites. So that was a really phenomenal event. We had people talking about the dangers of vaccines. We had Del Bigtree there, who is just a superstar. You know, we first invited Del Bigtree to the Red Pill Expo some years ago, and he wasn't all that well known at that point, and yet now he is the man of the hour. He is just on a rampage exposing the dangers of these vaccines that the establishment is using for so many nefarious purposes, and that they are planning to try to force on us in the months ahead. Unbelievable stuff going on there. We had Christian Westbrook, who, of course, is the Ice Age farmer. He is sounding the alarm about coming food shortages, about how the elites are working to centralize control over food production. And it gets real gross here, guys. The more you dig into this, the more you realize their agenda is absolutely disgusting in every sense of the word. I wrote an article at the New American years ago because the UN had put out this report. I headlined it, UN, colon, let them eat bugs. And if you remember the French Revolution, you probably caught the reference. And, of course, there's a lot of reports that Marie Antoinette actually never said, let them eat cake, that was a fraud by the revolutionists who wanted to behead Christians and overthrow the existing order, of course, closely run by the local Masonic lodges, which had been taken over by the Illuminati, according to the book Proofs of a Conspiracy, published in 1798 by John Robison, himself a Mason, who went through continental Europe, traveled through the Masonic lodges there, and said, oh my goodness, guys, there's this crazy conspiracy of lunatics who are trying to use masonry to advance their satanic agenda. And it really was a satanic agenda. It was the same agenda that Karl Marx would promote later, right? God said, thou shalt not steal. God ordained private property, so they want to get rid of private property. God established nation states, so they wanted to get rid of nation states. God established family, so they wanted to get rid of family. In fact, when they took over France in the French Revolution, they hated God's created order so much that they got rid of the 7-day work day. They got rid of the 7-day week. They said, well, hey, God created the world in 7 days, and we reject God. Therefore, we're going to have a 10-day week instead of a 7-day week. And then they promptly proceeded to remove the heads of tens of thousands of innocent people in a disgusting orgy of violence and brutality and savagery, unlike anything that had been seen up till that point. It was just an abomination on steroids. So the Red Pill Expo was a lot of fun. So much truth there, just hard to imagine. Of course, another recent article I wrote for The New American, you can find all of these, by the way, at thenewamerican.com. I am the senior editor of The New American magazine. We have our print magazine and our online. You can find all of my latest articles at thenewamerican.com/author/Alex Newman. And one that I wrote in late September, experts say Trump is the target of a color revolution. I think you guys probably have already started to see this, and I'm sure Daniel has talked about it, but we have very powerful forces in the United States now that really don't like our system of government. In fact, they hate it. They despise our Constitution. They despise the biblical principles that our nation was founded upon, and they are planning to do everything they can to completely and utterly destroy it, and also to destroy us. And right now, I think Trump stands in their way to some extent, and so they have this crazy bloodlust. They want to destroy him utterly, and if that means burning down our cities, if that means using the military for a coup d'etat, if they think they can get away with it. And it's actually the same people who planned all these color revolutions in Eastern Europe for the last few decades. Literally the same people. The same names. The people who wrote the manuals on how to overthrow governments are now hard at work like termites, hauling out our government, our institutions, the foundations of our nation. If you want to know more about, you know, if people say, well, who are they, Alex? Who do you mean when you say they? And I'm glad you asked, because I actually just addressed this question. I've heard the question so many times, and there is a very good answer. And I finally said, you know what, there needs to be a book with the answer. Who is they? And so I just published a book. It just was released last week. It's called Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. It's not even on Amazon yet, but you can get it at shopjbs.com. And what I do is I answer the question, who is they? So we talk about, of course, the deep state and the bureaucracy, right, the intelligence community, so-called, and then really the serious organizations involved. So we got the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and I've been to two of their meetings, never as an invited guest, naturally. You probably didn't need me to tell you that. Look at some of the money men here. We've got the Rothschilds. We've got George Soros, who, of course, got his initial funding from the Rothschilds and then was convicted of insider trading. Are these people not good businessmen? These people are criminals. We've got the Rockefellers, the late patriarch of the Rockefeller criminal syndicate, David Rockefeller, who bragged in his book on page 405 in his memoirs that he is a part of a secret cabal conspiring against the best interests of the United States, working with others to build a more integrated political, one world political and economic system, a one world order, if you will. He says he's proud of that. And he mentions Fidel Castro. He says extremists have seized on his meeting with Castro to suggest that he's a conspirator working with a secret cabal to overthrow the United States and build a one world order. And he says if that's the charge, I stand guilty. And I'm proud of it, okay? He's proud of it, folks. He's proud of being a conspirator working with a secret cabal to overthrow your nation and to enslave you. Let that sink in, folks. This is how they talk in public. If you went over to communist China in the early 1970s, which, you know, if you don't know the history of communist China, it's so crucial to understand. The deep state in the United States was critical in overthrowing our ally Chiang Kai-shek, an anti-communist freedom fighter, and replacing him with the mass murdering savage Chairman Mao, who then, as we mentioned earlier, proceeded to slaughter 100 million people. This book also addresses the secret societies, the Skull and Bones, of course, George Bush, George H.W. Bush, John Kerry, William Buckley, founder of the National Review. We talk about the Bohemian Grove, these weirdos who like to gather under their 40-foot stone owl and burn what they claim is a human effigy. Alex Jones actually snuck in and videotaped this, so you can watch that on YouTube. And, of course, the Illuminati. You know, the Illuminati was a real thing. George Washington wrote about it. Actually, that book that I mentioned earlier, Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robeson, he was given a copy of that book by his friend who was a minister. And he wrote back, he said, hey, it was never my intention to doubt that the doctrines of the Illuminati has not spread in the United States. On the contrary, nobody's more satisfied of that fact than I am. And that letter is still in the National Archives. You can still get it online. Also in this book, I go through the deep state in action. So I show, you know, how the globalists are using mass migration into the Western world to de-Christianize and overthrow freedom in the Western world. A perfect example of that that I just covered over at Freedom Project Media is the globalist French president, Emmanuel Macron. Okay, I'm sure you guys have heard of him. Really a strange character. So he is taking a page out of the playbook of Adolf Hitler, who became the first world leader in human history, to make it a crime for parents to homeschool their children. True story. Even during the denazification program, that's the only stuff they kept was the ban on home education. And so Macron has decided that because, oops, we invited millions of Muslims into France, now we can't have homeschooling anymore. So starting next year, he says, nobody will be allowed to homeschool. All parents must hand the slaves over to the state starting at age 3 for their mandatory indoctrination. And this stuff sounds like, I mean, like out of 1984, at least to their credit, they're more honest in France than the totalitarian here in America. The French president said, and I'm quoting here, he said, school is the Republican melting pot. It's what makes it possible for us to protect our children in a complete way from any religious sign. From religion is truly the heart of the space of secularism, he says, and it is this place where we can form consciences so that children become free, rational citizens, able to choose their own lives. The school is therefore our collective treasure. Okay, he admits that the purpose of this draconian ban on homeschooling, modeled on Adolf Hitler's ban on homeschooling, is to protect, in his words, children from religion. And of course, he has Islam in mind, but I think ultimately they're really going after the Christians. That is the point of this. They're the ones who invited the millions of them. First, they blew up the Muslims' countries, right? We're going to bomb Libya to smithereens. We're going to bomb Syria to smithereens. We're going to blow up Iraq. We're going to mess up Afghanistan. You know, pick your Middle Eastern country, and the globalists have been up to no good there, including the communists, you know, that of the Soviet Union. They did a lot of damage there, too. And then after they destroyed all these people's countries, they said, hey, why don't you guys just come to Europe? We'll give you free food and free apartments and free health care and free so-called education for your children. Come on, just come on in, right? We'll hook it up. And, of course, a lot of people did. And just as I warned probably 8 years ago, they were going to use this massive influx of Muslims to undermine the freedoms of everyone else. Like homeschooling, right? Well, you can't have Muslims homeschooling their kids, and so nobody can homeschool. Oh, well, you know, Muslim terrorists might do something, so we got to spy on all of you, right? It was so predictable. It was so predictable. And here we are losing our freedoms thanks to this enormous fraud that has been perpetrated on us. Unbelievable stuff going on there, guys. So other stuff in the book, we've got globalists created the refugee crisis. We've got UN environmental schemes advancing world government, creating a new world order out of regional orders. That's what they're doing, right? You think everybody in the world just woke up and said, hey, we don't really need nation states anymore. Let's create a European Union. Let's create an African Union. Let's create a North American Union. Let's create a union of South American states. Hey, let's have an association of Southeast Asian nations. And Putin said, hey, why don't we make a Eurasian Union? True story, right? All these monstrosities are being developed all over the world. Anybody who thinks that was spontaneous, that, you know, 8 billion people just decided suddenly that they didn't really like their nations anymore and they wanted to give up power and authority and sovereignty to a regional government, I've got some really nice beachfront property in Nebraska. Call me after the show. And I found out from one of the producers that most of you who are hearing this show are not actually hearing me live. Most of you are hearing me with a delay, even of some hours. Some of you will even be hearing me the next day. But if you are listening to this live on one of the stations that broadcasts it live or over the internet or through the satellite broadcasters, you can call in at 844-769-2944. If you want to file a complaint or criticism, or if you just have a question or you want to chat, I'd love to hear from you. Now, other things in this book, guys, we've got China, a tool and creation of the deep state. We've got coronavirus, a deep state assault on our freedom. We got riots are a tool of the deep state, and then deep state's ultimate secret weapon, of course, is the public education system. And if you've been listening to the show regularly, I've been on quite a few times with Daniel to talk about how the deep state, the establishment, the globalists, the communists, the totalitarians who intend to destroy our country and enslave us have been using the public school system as their primary weapon. And Donald Trump hit the nail on the head on this back in his Independence Day speech. I hope you guys caught that. He was speaking at Mount Rushmore. And he said, and I quote, the reason for the mayhem in our streets is that our children are being indoctrinated in biased public schools. He was right on the money. That is why our brainwashed young, and I'm a millennial, you know, you always hate to admit that because people automatically assume you're an idiot, and it's, you know, you can't blame them for that. But it's true. The reason why all these young, clueless dummies who couldn't find their way out of a paper bag are out there burning down our cities and hating America and wanting to dismantle our Constitution to destroy the greatest, freest nation in human history is because they've been brainwashed. They don't know any better. In fact, they're not even capable of using logic and reason. Many of them are actual illiterates, all by design, of course. And, you know, that's been my area of focus for many years now. I've written multiple books on this, Crimes of the Educators. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm the executive director of Public School Exit. Guys, if you still have your children in public schools, you have got to get them out. You know, people ask me, what can I do in the freedom fight? Well, the first thing you can do is make sure you're not giving more soldiers to the enemy and that you're giving your kids a good God-centered education. You know, God has a lot to say about education. If you go to Proverbs 9:10, God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you go to Proverbs 1:7, God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And yet some of us expect that we're going to send our children to school to get wisdom and knowledge, where we all know that you can't even mention the Lord, right? How is anybody going to get knowledge or wisdom if you can't even mention the Lord in a public school? Of course you're not, right? They use quackery that we've known as quackery since the 1840s. To turn our children into dyslexics and illiterates and handicapped people who cannot read. It's all by design, folks. It's all by design. And so I've got a series of columns over at the Epoch Times outlining this whole abomination. My latest one actually deals with the subject that we were just talking about, schools using fake history to kill America. They're not kidding. They're not kidding. Their plan is to kill America. And so, I encourage you to go read these if you want, especially if you still have your children trapped in a government indoctrination center masquerading as a school. You probably heard of the 1619 Project. You probably don't realize just how twisted and ridiculous it is. In fact, even the New York Times' own fact checker said this is false. You can't publish this. This is crazy. It's not true, right? They said that one of the main reasons for our war for independence was because the Founding Fathers wanted to keep their slaves. There's never been a bigger piece of baloney oil thrown out in human history, and yet this abomination that was published in the New York Fake Times is now been turned into a curriculum for use in public schools. Now, the lady who wrote it, and I use the term lady loosely, Nicole Hannah Jones, with the actual pink hair, true story, it's a virulent, disgusting racist. I mean, a racist like you can't even imagine. Let me see if I can find the quotes for you. I mean, she is just nasty, 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 like you can't imagine. She says, here, and I'll find these quotes for you, what she said. Actually, she had a letter to the editor published in 1995 where she said, and I quote, whites are savages and bloodsuckers. She says the white race is the biggest murderer, rapist, pillager, and thief of the modern world. I guess grammar is also racist, and so that's why the grammar, I put F-I-T in there, sick. Unbelievable stuff. It's just such a disaster. She said that basically Christopher Columbus was the equivalent of Hitler. She says Europeans, who apparently are collectively guilty, even though collective guilt is actually considered a war crime, says are unnecessarily cruel. It can only be described as the acts of the devil. True story. Okay. And this lady got a Pulitzer Prize for this piece of garbage called the 1619 Project. Now, this wouldn't be the first time that a propagandist, a communist propagandist for the New York Times, got a Pulitzer Prize for lying to the American people and promoting communist talking points. Some of you probably remember Walter Duranty. He was the New York Times Moscow bureau chief. And he was also a propagandist for Joseph Stalin, one of the worst mass murderers to ever walk on this planet. He wrote back, oh, everything's wonderful here in the Soviet Union. Oh, there's no genocide going on in the Ukraine. Yeah, things aren't great. But as you said, that he's the one who first used the expression, well, you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet, right? Meanwhile, Stalin was literally starving the people of Ukraine to death. He murdered about 10 million Ukrainians through a forced starvation program. He stole all of their grain, sold it in international markets, and left the people of Ukraine to die of starvation. One of the most barbarous acts in human history. And Walter Duranty got a Pulitzer Prize for saying, oh, nothing to see here, folks. Okay. So this Nicole Hannah Jones is basically another one of these communist propagandists. And as you see, communist propagandists, there's big rewards for being a communist propagandist. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the 1619 Project, the name comes from the year 1619. And even that is a lie, okay? She says 1619 is the real birthday of America because that's the year that African slaves were first brought to America. Turns out that's not true. In fact, it turns out it's not even close to true. What really happened in 1619 was some indentured servants were brought over. And the real story is actually absolutely fascinating. I don't know why you have to lie about the history. Just tell the truth. It was incredibly interesting. Basically, the the Imbangala warlords in what is today modern-day Angola had kidnapped some fellow black Africans, and they sold them as indentured servants to some European traders. They were brought over to what is today Virginia, and they were sold off as indentured servants. And there was a strict time limit to how long they were supposed to be in service. Now, for those of you who remember your history, many, many Europeans, in fact, probably most of the Europeans who were coming over to the United States at that time were also coming over as indentured servants. Okay, and there's some really fascinating history, guys. It's very much unknown. There was one African indentured servant who was brought over. He arrived in Virginia in 1621. His name was Antonio, because Angola was at that time part of Portugal, and so he had been given a Portuguese name, Antonio. Once he arrived in what would later become the United States, he renamed himself Anthony Johnson, and once his period of indentured servitude was over, he was freed, of course, as indentured servants were supposed to be, and he became an incredibly prosperous planter. He actually became one of the wealthiest people in the colonies, and he became, this is a true story, this is a black African named Anthony Johnson, he became the first legal slave holder in Virginia. Okay, there was a dispute, and it went to court, and in the court ruling, he was allowed to keep his indentured servant for his entire life, making that person the first official slave in the colonies. And yet he was a black African. Why isn't this history being taught? Why didn't the liar in the New York Times tell you about it? Well, I think it's pretty obvious, right? And the whole point of the 1619 Project, which again is being taught to all of your children in government schools, is that, and I'm quoting her here, that racism and slavery and oppression and white supremacy are embedded in the DNA of America. Okay, think about the implications of that statement. If those evils are in our DNA, there's nothing you can do to change your DNA except take a vaccine from Bill Gates, right? One of those Moderna RNA vaccines. But there's nothing you can do to change your DNA. So if your DNA is evil, there's only one solution, right? And as they say in Iran, death to America, right? And that is what the New York Slimes and Nicole Hannah Jones and all their Marxist colleagues are ultimately calling for. There's nothing we could do to get this horror out of our DNA. We couldn't fight a civil war. We couldn't change policy. We couldn't teach everybody on the planet this idiotic critical race theory. We're just all evil. We've got to kill it. Folks, I'm Alex Newman. You are listening to the Power Hour. Coming up after the break, we have Frank De La Rona with us. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. support small businesses, and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Theparamall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at theparamall.com today.